We'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church here at 333 South Chestnut Street. Here at Trinity, we strive to Christ's hands, feet, and heart in our community. We invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Our radio this morning was sponsored by Jim Paffenberger in honor of Lori's birthday. You can see the birthdays and prayer buddies and anniversaries in your bulletin if you would look for those and our sister churches to pray for. Scripture this morning is John 15, 1 through 8. It's found on page 1068 in your pew Bibles if you would like to follow along. That's John 15, 1 through 8. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." I'm sorry. That's not 15, 1 through 8. I'm right. I don't need that. Thank you. The vine and the branches. I went to 15 and 14. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And now we will have our sermon, "What Kind of Branch Are You?" by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Have you ever listened to somebody talking to you and thought, "Oh, I know what they mean," and then days or weeks, months, or years later, you realized that you really didn't know what they meant and that deeper meaning came to you? Have you been there? Have you done that? I remember early on in my Christian walk, the man who is now my mentor was my first pastor. And I can remember sitting and talking to him and telling him all the stuff that was going on in my life and all these troubles. And he told me, "I am going to pray the first part of John 15 over your life." And I thought to myself, "Ooh, David's a great prayer warrior. My life is going to get amazing. It's going to be beautiful." And through the years, I have heard his voice in my head saying that, and it has come to a deeper and deeper and deeper reality of what he was really saying. He was saying, "I'm going to pray that God cuts you to pieces so that you can bear fruit, so that you can truly be a disciple of Jesus Christ." I looked up what pruning means in English. I totally forgot to paste in which dictionary I got it from, so you just have to do with the definition. Cut off unwanted branches from a tree, bush, or other plant. Make something smaller by removing parts that you do not need or want. Remove anything considered superfluous or undesirable. This is what my mentor was praying over me. We're going to remove all this stuff from your life. We're going to ask God to prune you, to cut off all the things that are not healthy, all the things that are not bearing fruit, all the things that don't look like my son. Because our ultimate goal is to look like Jesus Christ, to become more and more like Jesus Christ. And I remember thinking, oh, yay! He's a powerful prayer warrior. This is going to be great. And then I started learning what this passage really means. It's difficult. It is painful. But it also glorifies our God. It also gives us something to bring to the table, something to share with one another. So with purpose and intention, the vine dresser, who is the vine dresser? God. God is the vine dresser. Walks through the vineyard as an artist. The focus is on the vine and the fruit. God does not create vines for all show and no tell. He wants each and every one of us as a vine to bear good fruit and to continue bearing fruit. That's what discipleship is about. One person talking to another person and helping them to grow in Jesus Christ. Same thing as us staying connected to the vine, as us being connected to the source of power that is going to help us grow and become more like Christ. When the vine dresser goes through his vineyard with his pruning knife, he has a distinct purpose: to cut away everything that steals nourishment from the fruit. Every vine needs pruning because every vine is created with a purpose, and its purpose is to bear fruit. With pruning, we bear more fruit. Less of me and more of God. Can you guys say that? Less of me and more of God. That is God's goal in us. But we Americans, we have some pretty fixed thinking. We tend to think, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If it's working, so-so, just keep doing it that way. There's no need for growth. There's no need for doing it any better. There's no need for refining it. It's working. Pruning is proof that good must be removed for the better. Let me repeat that. Because our God is taking good. He's taking part of the branch, part of the vine, part of the leaves, and he is cutting them off. Now, they're good, but he wants better. He wants to be able to see his son through us. Pruning is proof that the good must be removed for the better. Growth, as painful as we all know that it can be, gives us a way of evaluating our Christian walk, of evaluating our relationship with Christ. What kind of branch are you? Are you a branch that just kind of limply hangs there? You like to come to church on Sunday, and that's about all that you do as far as God goes, unless, of course, you get in an accident or somebody you know is sick. Then you start praying like crazy. Are you a branch that has some beautiful but unnecessary leaves? You're running around and doing all this work here, there, and everywhere. You're working for God, and those leaves are real pretty, but they don't allow room for that vine to produce fruit. Or are you connected? Is the sap of Jesus Christ running through you? Are you fully alive in Jesus Christ? Are you helping to produce disciples in your life? Are you, as a branch, illustrating what Christ looks like to others? There was a newspaper reporter interviewing a man, He said, "How did you get to be as rich as what you are today?" And the guy says, "Oh, I'm glad you asked. It's a really interesting story. When my wife and I got married, we had a roof over our head. We had a little bit of food in the pantry, and we had a nickel between us. I took that nickel, and I went down to the store, and I bought an apple for a nickel. I shined it up, and I sold it for 10 cents. Now you see that newspaper reporter, he's starting to get excited. He said, "What'd you do then? What'd you do after that?" He said, "Well, I took that 10 cents. I went back to the store. I got two more apples. I shined them up. I made them look beautiful. And I sold them for 20 cents. Oh, that reporter's getting all kinds of excited now. He's thinking this is going to be a great human interest story. It's going to be fantastic. What happened next? The guy said, "My father-in-law passed away and left us $20 million. He did not get rich on his own ingenuity. He did not get rich on his own, but because he was connected. Because he was connected." What does it mean to be connected? Well, it means three things. First, it means that we have power. You know, look at this outlet right here. It does me no good unless I plug into it. I love the fact that when we do plug into Jesus Christ by reading the Word, by coming to church, by going to Sunday school, by going to Bible study, we receive power. That sap is flowing through us. It flows into us and through us to others. That is the life that we are supposed to have. The events in John 15, 1 through 8, took place as Jesus and his disciples left the upper room and moved towards the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, we all know that that wasn't a real happy time. And as they walked towards that garden where Christ would sweat blood, where he already knew the anguish that would happen, they passed by the temple. And in those days, the ornaments were large and extensive and lavish. There was a huge branch with a great big bunch of grapes on it. Those grapes were almost as big as a man. So Christ used that moment as a teaching moment. He saw that and he told them that the vine and its branches illustrate spiritual truth. His union with the disciples was alive because they had had relationship with him. They had spent 3 years in his presence, watching his miracles, listening to his teaching. They were fully alive and prepared to tell all people the reason for which they had hope. The second thing is that being connected means that we are in his presence. We are not alone. We will never be alone. Just as we are here for one another now, how many of you know that if something happens in your life, there is somebody in this church who will pray for you? Amen. It's that type of connection that we need. You don't have to go to church to be saved. All you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for your salvation, that he offers you forgiveness, and you'll go to heaven. But there's something about coming into the body of Christ, worshiping together, praying together, reading the Holy Word together that strengthens us. We receive strength from one another. Even the small things in life our little comments back and forth on the prayer chain, calling one another, leaving a comment on Facebook. Those strengthen us. We remember that we are cared for. Being connected means that we will live a productive life. A vine and its fruit points to the giftedness of discipleship, indicating the substance that will sustain new branches and abundant fruit. The relationship between the vine and the branches. The relationship between us. The relationship between the source and the vine and the fruit. Being in the hand of God. Being in the Word of God. Knowing that He sustains us and that that life-giving sustenance flows through us. The very life of the branch depends on being attached to the vine. When it's disconnected, it dies, it withers. The same thing happens to us when we are disconnected from Christ. When we're that limp branch, just going to church on Sunday because, you know, that's what everybody does. We don't have that sap, that power pouring into us. We don't radiate the love of Christ Jesus to others. And I am the chief of being guilty at this. I like my sleep in the morning. I don't want to get up and read my Bible. I've gotten to the point where I fall asleep now listening to the Word. And I make sure that I am in it at some point through the day. I stop beating myself up because I don't do it first thing in the morning always. But I do it through the day. What does it mean to abide? To abide in Christ Jesus. Let's take a look at what the letters in the word abide mean. A. A stands for absolute surrender. We have come to Him just as we are, confessing our sin and saying, "You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me what you would use in me today." B stands for belief. We have to trust Him completely to do with us, for us, and around us what is very best. While we stand upon His promises. The I stands for insight. We have to pour ourselves into His Word each day, learning His way and gaining His insight for living. Before I go further, I got a little disclaimer here. I found this little part, the abide, online. But again, I didn't copy the source on it. So I'll have to get better about that. But to me, it really illustrated what it means to abide in Christ. To stay connected to the vine. D stands for dedication. We have to persevere over time, separating ourselves from our sinful habits and from people and places that may hinder our purity. In recovery, we say we have to change our people, places, and playgrounds if we're going to stay clean and sober, if we're going to do the next right thing, if we're going to follow God. We have to stay away from the people who will drag us down, the people who will offer us drugs and alcohol, the people who will talk us in to doing things that are sinful and not healthy for us. E stands for enthusiasm. We go about His work in the power and the energy that He provides us. You'll notice that people filled with the Holy Spirit look younger. They just have a glow about them when they're filled with the Holy Spirit. It is evident on their face. God owns the vineyard. And as with any responsible owner of a vineyard, any responsible gardener, his goal is to produce good fruit, more fruit, to continue to prune those back. Have you ever watched somebody prune a plant, prune the roses? They cut it off, even the little buds, because they want that to produce more roses, more fruit. Before pruning, there are several things that God wants to do in us. We all go through experiences in life that we call troubles, the hurts, the disappointments, and defeats are God's way of pinching off those excess leaves. Even though those leaves are beautiful and healthy, they're not fruit. God pinches them off. A lot of times, I don't know about you, but I can get too busy doing God's work to really do what's important, to spend time in the Word, to spend time in prayer, to spend time in fellowship, praying and reading the Word, because I'm not busy serving God. The only way we can play a significant role in the kingdom is to allow Jesus to live his life in and through us. We can only be grafted to Christ by cutting off our attachment to our way of life. You know, people, places, and playgrounds have to go, and we have to start trusting the gardener as he prunes us. The useless branches have to be removed in order to save and strengthen the stronger ones. There is one main light that attacks the branches of the vine. Can you guess what that is? Give you a hint. Missy taught us about it. How it blemished the pretty white heart. Sin. Sin stands in our way. It destroys our fruitfulness unless it's severely dealt with. And that means not just that we ask for forgiveness. That means we start spending time in the Word. That means we start spending time in prayer. That means we start doing the things that keep us connected to Christ Jesus. We have to be totally dependent upon that vine. And none of us likes to be totally dependent upon anything. But we must trust God through the struggles and the strife of life that he is doing what's best for us. And when things we don't really care for happen, when he prunes us, when he cuts something, thank him. Thank him and realize that new growth will happen. It will be born out of our relationship with him. When the vine dresser goes through his vineyard with his pruning knife, he has distinct purposes to cut away everything that steals nourishment from the vine and from the fruit. What is? What is that fruit? That fruit is found in Galatians 5:22-23. It is the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus when we abide in him. That garden becomes our solace. That garden becomes our sanctuary. The fruit, the sweet fruit, drawn from connection and relationship with him, fulfills us in a way that nothing else can fulfill us. It fulfills us past having our dreams realized, past having every desire attended to, having that deep connection, abiding in him, fulfills us like nothing else can. When we walk with him, when we talk with him, when he is that close to us, because we've been working on the relationship with him, nothing but nothing can compare to that. I love the song, In the Garden. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voices I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I read something in the middle of the night that I got up and added to my message because I couldn't sleep. It was talking about spiritual maturity, or for that fact, growth. Growth and spiritual maturity is not something that God gives away freely. It is something that he develops deep within us. It occurs by the pruning, staying connected to the vine, nurturing your relationship with him as he walks with you and talks with you and whispers that you are his own. As we walk by faith, abiding in him, enduring the trials of life, we will not become a people of endurance, absent of pain. The pain, beloved, is a part of life. But if we stay the course, if we stay connected to him, we will not only bear fruit, we will not only glorify him, but we will help others through life.
Oh.